I want to continue a lesson that I began on last week. If you were here, you would remember that we were talking from the subject or the topic, daily spiritual renewal. Daily spiritual renewal. Again, when we consider the scripture that was read this morning, the Apostle Paul talked about some things that had been a part of his life, those that were working along with him. Because of the gospel's sake, they had suffered many things. Among those things, he would say that we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. He would also say that we are perplexed, but not in despair. He would say that we are persecuted, but not forsaken, and we are cast down, but not destroyed. What was it that caused him to feel so positive, even when he was experiencing negative things? It was because of what lay ahead. So he would say then in verse number 16 again this morning, he would say that though the outward man perishes, the inward man, he says, is renewed day by day. On a daily basis, the spiritual man or the inward man is being renewed. It's being renewed again because, he says, we are not looking at the things that are temporal, but we're looking at the things that are eternal. Or the things that are temporal, he said, they are just temporary, just for a time, just for a moment, as he would say. He said, but they work as for us a far more and exceeding weight of glory. Those things, he says, were eternal in heaven. And so I said to us on last week that we need to have a daily spiritual renewal. And the reason why it needs to be a daily spiritual renewal is because the devil is still busy. And he would love for us to look at the things that are happening to us and around about us, and perhaps even to others that we may love or may not know, but because of these negative things that are happening in our lives and in the lives of others and in the world today, he would want to distract us, keep our minds focused on those things. But Paul says, we're focusing on things that are eternal. One of the things that I tried to describe and convey to us on last week is that our love for the Lord may be diminished because of all of these negative things. Many times people will feel like the Lord doesn't care, that the Lord doesn't know, that the Lord is not concerned because he allows all these things to happen. But every day that we wake up, we ought to be focusing on our love for the Lord, that he is still a good Lord. He is a merciful Lord. And as we said, that his mercies, they're new every morning. He loved us. Not because we loved him, because we as a people did not really love him, because we had gone away from him in our sins. And the Bible says that he loved us first. And so John says that's why we reciprocate our love to him. We love him because he first loved us. And so our love for the Lord needs to be renewed every day that God allows us to live. Every day. In spite of what may be happening to us, we still need to love the Lord. Well, today, as we continue, I want to say to us this morning that we need to renew our love for the Word of God each and every day, that God blesses us to see our love for his Word ought to be renewed. We ought to have so much love in our hearts for the Word of God. That God that loved us and gave us his word because he wanted the best for us, we ought to love his word not just today, but every day. And as we wake every day, we ought to renew our love for the word of God. We ought to be like the psalmist. The psalmist says in Psalm 119 in verse number 97, he says, "Oh, how love I thy law." He says, "It is my meditation all the day." Not only was it his meditation all the day, but he had already said in the first division of Psalms that he loved the word of God on a daily basis. In Psalms division 1 in verse number 1, he says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth on the seat of the scornful. But his delight," he says, "is in the law of the Lord. And on his law does he meditate," he says, "day and night." He says, "I'm meditating on the," excuse me, "the law of the word of God day and night." And this is in the present and the continuing sense, that every day and every night I'm meditating on the word of God. And I don't believe this morning that if we love the Lord and we love his word, that some way, somehow, we ought to be meditating on his word, thinking deeply about his word, pondering on his word, considering his word each and every day of our lives. Now, it may go one day that we don't pick up the Bible physically, but we still ought to be thinking about his word. We ought to be meditating on his word. It was with the psalmist, it was an everyday occurrence. And even when the Lord dealt with Joshua, when he took over the leadership of God's people after Moses had died, God said to Joshua, "I want you to think about my word. I want you to meditate on my law on a daily basis." In Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 8, listen to what he says. He says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein," how often? "Day and night." It's a continuous thing. "Meditate," he says, "therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then," he says, "thou shalt make thy way prosperous and have good success." Perhaps the reason why things may not be happening the way we would desire for them to happen in our lives, and especially the way God desires for them to happen in our lives, is maybe because we are not thinking about God's word. We are not renewing his word in our minds on a daily basis. And that's exactly what the devil wants us to do, is to not think about God's word. He wants us to go weeks and months without even considering God's word. And when we do that, we are in a lot of trouble. So I would say to us this morning again that every day that we wake up, we ought to renew our love for the word of God, and we ought to meditate on the word of God. And so when these negative things occur in our lives, we'll have something to sustain us because we are thinking about the word of God, and we know that in the word of God, we have the promises of God that these things will not last forever in our lives. And so we keep on looking, as Paul did, to those things that are eternal. And so then, when negativism, if you will, when it comes into my life and it causes me to become weak and weary along the way, if I meditate on the word of God, it will help me to come out of that weakness and that dreariness that I'm finding myself in. Isaiah said it like this in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 31. He had this to say. He says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall do what? Renew their strength. He said, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall walk and not faint, and they'll run like eagles and walk and not faint. So what is he saying? He's saying that God will strengthen us as we wait upon the Lord and as we meditate upon the word of the Lord. He will give us the strength to come out of our weak moments and our weak days. But the devil wants us to stay in our weak moments. So then, we need to constantly meditate on the word of God. And we won't do that unless we really love his word. So not only when I'm weak then, but even if I feel lonely, if I meditate on God's word, I can find something in God's word that will help me in my loneliness. Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5, he says this in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5. He said, let your conversation or your manner of life, he said, be without covetousness. He says, and be content with such things as you have. I wish all of you can be with us on Tuesday morning, if God wills. We're going to be talking about a call to contentment in our Tuesday morning Bible class. That's a commercial for Tuesday morning. So if you could come, be with us. But he says now, you need to be content with such things as you have. He says, for he has said, I will do what? I will never forsake thee. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So when I'm lonely, I need to just meditate on God's word, and hopefully that scripture will come to my mind to know that God is with me, even though I feel as though nobody else is with me. I remember Paul on one occasion, as he was standing before his accusers, he said to Timothy, he says this, notwithstanding, all men forsook me, but he says, the Lord stood by me. So even though when he felt forsaken, that's why he could say that I wasn't forsaken. He wasn't forsaken because he knew the Lord was standing with him. So when we meditate on God's word, we know that God's word has taught us that he'll never leave us and he'll never forsake us. So then as we meditate on his word, we can find strength again for the journey that we're traveling through this weary world that we're in. Even when I feel as no one cares about me, meditating on God's word will bring back to mind that we have read or that I have read in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 7 when he says, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. The devil wants us to think that he doesn't care. And if he can get us distracted one day and get us distracted 2 days and 3 days, pretty soon we're going to give up on God. So then, let us never give up on God. Realize that the Lord cares about us. Even when doubts arise about my faith, when I'm meditating on God's word, I can read that he says that I need to hold on to my faith. As he says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 23, he would say over there, he would say, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, without doubting. Why? Because he's faithful, that promise. God has promised us something, and God is going to keep his promise. But we've got to hold on to our faith. So indeed, then, when we have doubts about our faith, when we are meditating on God's word, don't let the devil keep us in that state. But realize that God still wants us to hold on to our faith because he has something good waiting on us. Yes, indeed, when I'm grieving over a loved one who has departed, I know when I meditate on God's word that God has comfort for me and God has blessings for me, and I will still maintain my faith in God. Remember Job? Job had lost everything that he had. And everybody that he had, as far as his family is concerned. All 10 of his children had died. He only had a wife left. But all of his children had died. All of his possessions had been taken away. But you know what Job said? In Job chapter 1 and verse number 20 and 21, the Bible says, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground. And what did he do? Worshipped. And that's a good point for us, brothers and sisters. We still need to worship, even though we lose a loved one. Don't let losing a loved one stop you from worshiping. But if you're not really meditating on his word, if you don't love his word, if you can't look at things that are eternal, the devil will distract you even by losing a loved one. Job didn't let losing a loved one distract him from his faithfulness to God. He still bowed down and worshiped God. And you know what else he did? He went on and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. He was saying the same thing that the Apostle Paul said when he wrote to Timothy, that I brought nothing into this world, and it is certain, he says, that I'm going to carry nothing out. So Job said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. He says, the Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away, and blessed be the name of the Lord. You know why Job was able to say that? I believe he was meditating on God. He had his love for God. And when we have a love for the word of God, and when we renew it day by day, no matter what happened to us on Monday, on Tuesday, on Thursday, if we are meditating on the word of God, we can find strength to keep us going, because we know that's not the end. And that's what Paul was saying when he wrote to the church at Corinth. He said, the outward man is perishing, but the inward man is renewing, being renewed day by day. Why, Paul? Because that's not the end. The outward man is not the end. God has something waiting for the inner man, or for the spiritual man. And that's why we read again in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. Well, we know, Paul says, if our earthly house of this tabernacle be destroyed, we have what? A building of God, eternal in heaven, not made with hand. So Paul was looking for that eternal home. And that's why, again, all of these things could happen to him, and he would not give up. He would not lose faith or lose hope. Even though the trouble was coming on every side, he says, I'm not going to be stressed out about these things. Even though he was perplexed, he was not going to be in despair, he says. Even though he was persecuted, but he was not forsaken, as I've already said, because he knew the Lord was with him. Even though he was cast down, but he didn't let being cast down destroy him. Why? Again, because he was looking for what God had prepared for him. God has something prepared for all of us who love him and who love his word and obey his word. He has something prepared for us, and that something, as you and I know, is a home in heaven. Don't let Satan cause you or influence you to miss your home in heaven because you're distracted about things that are happening to you or about you or around you. You need to then, of course, have the objective that every day that God causes the sun to shine and I'm able to see it and know it's there, even it may be cloudy on a day like today. Every day that God allows me to live, I'm going to keep my love for his word renewed day by day. It needs to be a daily spiritual renewal. So again, we need to renew our love for the word of God. The word of God is so necessary in our lives because that's the only thing that will give us the direction that God wants us to go. We can't chart our own course. We can't map our own way. Only God can do that. That's why Jeremiah would say in Jeremiah 10:23, oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. For it's not in man that walketh, he says, to direct his steps. We need God to direct us in the right path. And we all need to be right with God. And God's way is revealed in his word. That's why we need to love it. And if we love it, then again, we're going to meditate on it. Again, we're going to study it, and we're going to strive to obey it, because we know only obedience will give us the blessings that God has for us in his word. God's righteousness is revealed in his word. His word was given for the purpose of making us what God wanted us to be. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, Paul said this to Timothy. He says, "And from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation." Now, all of us want to be saved, don't we? Well, the scripture is the only thing that will make us wise, or give us the wisdom, or give us the direction in which we are to order our lives if we're going to be saved. So he says, the scripture, are able to make you wise unto salvation. And he said they were given for a specific purpose. So again, he says in verse number 16, he says, all scripture. He said they were given by the what? Inspiration of God. And they are suitable. They are suitable, he says, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, may be mature, that the man of God may be perfect, complete, or mature unto all good works. Whatever God wants us to be, he has given us his scriptures to give us the direction to go in our lives. That's why, again, we want to and we need to renew our love for the scriptures or the word each and every day. Because you know what? Satan wants us to get our minds off of what God says. Satan wants us to do what we want to do. Because you see, basically, what we want to do, the natural man, is contrary to what God wants us to do. And that's what Satan wants us to do. He wants us to do our own thing. You know, the Isley Brothers, way back in my day, they came up with that song, "It's Your Thing, Do What You Want to Do." Well, I got news for you, Isley Brothers. Satan said that a long time ago. Satan has been saying that ever since he deceived Mother Eve. It's your thing, man. Do what you want to do. Don't let God tell you what to do. You got a mind. You got a brain. Think for yourself, they say. Well, I want to say to us this morning, if we go through life thinking for ourselves, we're going to miss going where God wants us to go, because we don't have enough sense, intelligence. You can't get enough degrees. You can't read enough books. You can't study enough subjects to get enough intelligence to know what God wants you to do. You've got to depend upon his word. That's why, again, we need to love his word, meditate upon his word, and study his word, and obey his word. So God's word, then, was given for the purpose of making us what we want, or rather, what he wants us to be. Therefore, then, the psalmist would say, it's a lamp unto our feet, and it's a light unto our pathway. God's word teaches us how to avoid certain things in our lives that will cause us to stand a guilty distance from him. It points out to us what sin, or what it is that God doesn't like. And that's what God doesn't like, is sin. And when we transgress the law of God, 1 John 3 and verse 4 says, we have sinned. But if we didn't have the law of God, or if we didn't have the word of God, we wouldn't know when we had sinned. We ought to be thankful this morning for God's word. Because God's word is the only thing that points out to us what's sin. You know what Paul said in Romans chapter 7 and verse number 7? He says this, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin?" He says, "God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but how? By the law." That's how we know what sin is, by the word of God. If it were not for the word of God, we wouldn't know that when we lied, we had sinned. We wouldn't know that when we curse somebody out, that we had sinned. We wouldn't know that when we live an immoral life, that we had sinned. We wouldn't know these things. But God's word points those things out for us, because he doesn't want us to fall into the trap of the devil. He wants us to live good and holy lives. But again, thank God for Jesus. Jesus is our advocate. Studied about that this morning in Brother Dennis's class. He is our advocate. Knowing that sin would be a part of our lives, he gives us a way of escape. Because because we got the way of escape, don't use it as a license to go out and continue in sin. So then, the Word of God then teaches us what sin is all about. And the reason why we want to avoid sin is because sin is a great separator. Sin not only separates folks from folks, but sin separates folks from God, and that's the greatest and the worst separator. And Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 teaches us that sin separates us from God. And if we are separated from God, we cannot enjoy the blessings, that is the spiritual blessings, that God has for us. That's why, again, we need to renew our mind for the love of God's word each and every day. Don't let Satan again distract us. And as we look at God's word, then we need to strive to be obedient to the word of God. We need to be obedient to the word of God. James says it like this in James chapter 1 and verse 21. James says, "Wherefore, laying apart all superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word," he says, "which is able to save your souls." Don't we want our souls saved? James says the word of God is able to save our souls. So then, if we are going to be saved, then we're going to have to obey the word of God. That's why the Bible says concerning Jesus in Hebrews 5, verse 8 and 9, "Though he was a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Being then made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him." We've got to obey the Lord if we're going to be saved. But if we don't love his word, we're not going to worry about what his word says. Therefore, we're not going to do his word. And when we don't do his word, guess what? We're not going to be saved. So if we want to be saved, then we need to love his word and we need to obey his word. No wonder James would go on and say in James 1, verse number 22, he says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only." We must be not just a hearer of the word, but we must also be a doer of the word. Yes, we got to hear it, but we got to also do what he says. You remember what Jesus says in Matthew 7 and verse 21? He said, "Not everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, but he that what? Doeth these sayings of mine." We've got to hear and do if we want to be saved. So again, then, we've got to obey the Lord. And the Lord, being that merciful God that he is, being that loving God that he is, he wants everybody to hear and obey his will. He wants everybody to be saved. 2 Peter 3:9 says the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants everybody to be saved. So when Paul wrote to his son in the gospel, Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verse number 1, he says, I exhort thee, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for who? All men. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God wants us to come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. He wants us to love his word and obey his word. But again, if we don't love it, then we're not going to obey it and we're not going to be saved. So I say to us this morning, if we want to be saved, then we need to love his word. We need to keep meditating on his word each and every day. Don't let Satan, as we said last week, and as we say from time to time, don't give him an inch. And if you don't give him an inch, you won't have to worry about him taking a mile. Just don't give him an inch. Don't let him get into your life and cause you to not love the word of God. So again, it's necessary for us to love his word, and it's also necessary for us to study his word. And as we study his word, we must study his word so that we can be approved unto God. Now, don't worry about being approved to me and being approved to your neighbor. It's good if you are according to the will of God. But if you're not, make sure that you're approved in the sight of God. Because at the end, it's not your neighbor, it's not me, it's not the elder, it's not the teacher, it's not the brother or the sister, but it's God that you're going to have to give an account to. So then we need to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Paul said that to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. He says, study, give all diligence, he says, to study. Make every effort to study to show yourself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. Yes, we need to be approved by God. So then we need to study God's word. How much time do we spend in studying the word of God? Now, I won't ask for a raise of hands, but I'll just throw this out for a thought question. How much time do you spend studying the word of God? Or do you just wait till Wednesday night or till Sunday morning to come and read from the Bible or study from the Bible? It ought to be, again, on a regular basis. Don't wait till you get here. Or don't wait just to be preparing for coming here on Saturday night. It ought to be a regular occurrence of our studying the Word of God. Because what would happen if God comes on Thursday and you hadn't learned what God's will is, therefore you're not doing God's will, do you think you're going to be approved in his sight? I don't think so. Even if he comes on Sunday and you're studying, and if you're not obeying it, you still won't be approved in God's sight. So we must study God's word and strive each and every day to live according to his word. Don't let Satan again distract us from all of the stuff that's going on around about us. Study to show ourselves approved in the sight of God. One of these days, we're going to have to stand before God. And when we love the word of God, and when we meditate upon the word of God, we are realizing that it is God's word and that it's not man's word. You know, sometimes when you're studying with people in the Bible, and sometimes when they want to be a little argumentative and contentious, they'll say something like this. I've had them to say this. You know, man wrote the Bible. I say, yeah, man wrote the Bible, but God told him what to write in the Bible. That's what we got to realize, that yes, it was men that wrote the Bible, but God told man what to write in the Bible. And therefore, when we listen to people who teach, who preach from the Bible or from the Word of God, if they are rightly dividing it, don't receive it as being the word of men, but receive it as being the word of God. And that's what Paul said to the church at Thessalonica. He said this when he wrote to the church at Thessalonica. He said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, he says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, notice that. He said, you heard the word of God of us or from us. But then he went on and said, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. So again, don't receive it as the word of men, but receive it as the word of God. But unless you really have been studying and meditating and reading from the word of God, you won't know whether it's the word of God or not. Because a lot of times people will tell you some stuff that you can't find nowhere in the Word of God. You ever heard this one? Before the end of time, you won't be able to tell the summer from the winter? That's nowhere in the Word of God. But the Word of God says just the opposite. That as time remains, he says, while the earth remains, he says, seed time and harvest, summer and winter will not cease. Well, if they won't cease, somebody got to be able to tell the difference. Otherwise, you wouldn't know that it's summer and winter. But folks will tell you that's in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. So make sure then that you study God's word so again that you can check up on what folks tell you. And when you find out that they are not telling you the right thing, you deviate from them and you stay with the word of God. Be like the Berean Christians, the Bereans before they became children of God. The Bible says this concerning them in Acts 17 and verse 7. When Paul and Silvanus had gone down into this area and taught them the word of God. Here is an apostle, an inspired man of God, that's speaking to these people, but yet they did not accept what they said on face value. You know what the Bible says in Acts 17 and verse 11? These were more noble than those at Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. As a result of that, the next verse says, many of them believed, or they obeyed. When did they obey? When they found out what Paul was saying was true. So I'm saying to you again, don't receive the word just because a man is telling you it, but you receive it because God said it. And the only way that you know God said it is to study God's word for yourself. What's my point in all of this that I've discussed with you this morning is that with all of the stuff that's going on in our world today, you may not be affected by it all, but some of it may affect you. Some of it may affect somebody else. You may even have all kinds of physical calamities going on in your life. And you may have mental things and emotional things and all of these things going on. The devil will use these things to distract us from doing God's will. And so we give our way over to the ways of Satan. God doesn't want us to do that. God wants us to keep looking beyond all of these things and look to what he has prepared for us. But we won't do it unless we keep renewing ourselves. Because if you don't keep renewing yourself, you're going to get weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. And eventually, you're going to be destroyed. It's needful for us to have daily renewal. Thank God for his word. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his love. Thank God for his long-suffering. All of these things that we enjoy from God, they are new every day. God's love is new for us every day. God's mercy is new for us every day. God's long-suffering is new for us every day. God's compassion is new for us every day. Now, if God keep renewing these things over and over for us every day, don't you think we need to keep renewing ourselves over and over with what he has given us to renew ourselves with, which is his word, so that we can stay in harmony with his will, so that when we get to that point and we stand before him, he'll be able to say, well done. But if Satan has distracted us and has captured our mind and has influenced us to go astray, and we stay astray, when we stand before God in the judgment, he'll not be able to say, well done. I want to hear him say, well done. Amen. So we got to do what Paul did, as he said to Timothy when he was about to lay his head on Nero's chopping block. He said this in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says, I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. But he says, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished the course. How did he do it? Well, I believe he did it by keep renewing himself day by day. Though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is being renewed, he says, day by day. For our light affliction is just for a moment, but they work it for us a far more, an exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen, they are temporal. But the things that are not seen, they are eternal. And so Paul could say then, I hung in there. I didn't let Satan distract me. I kept on renewing myself day by day. And now my life is almost over. I can look back over my life and say with confidence, I kept the faith. I finished the course.
I hung in there. Now, the crown of life, or a crown of righteousness, is awaiting me. But I love what he said at the end. Not only for me, but for all them that love his appearing. I believe he was saying, as I bring it into the context of my lesson, that he, that crown of life is waiting for those who love God and who love the Word of God and who obey the Word of God. There's a crown waiting for us, brothers and sisters, but we can't let Satan distract us. We got to keep renewing our minds and our spiritual selves day by day. And the Lord will help us. We don't do it by ourselves. He's right there with us, renewing us each and every day as we renew ourselves according to his will. If you're here at the end this morning and you're subject to the call of the gospel,